The title of the message this evening is The Truth About Liars. The Bible has quite a lot to say on the subject of lying. And I suspect that in our society today that much of what the Scriptures have to say about lying would be rather easily dismissed. And there is, I think, probably just a general kind of acceptance of lying on the part of people. And that's not totally unknown to the Scriptures. The Scriptures in Psalms 116, verse 11, also in Romans, Paul cites in Romans 3, that same psalmist passage, in which it is simply stated that all men are liars, or to let all men be accounted as liars. And in the context of those two passages, the point that the writers are making is that God needs to be depended upon as being reliable and trustworthy as to the revelation of what is true. Men just can't be counted on for that. And so the admonition is to account men as being untrustworthy as sources, as original sources of what is true. Only God can be counted on for that. But nonetheless, there is the recognition in those two passages, and it's made in other places as well, that men are just not trustworthy. And I know all you ladies are saying amen to that. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 12, we see where the Apostle Paul makes a recognition of the fact that there was a need to deal with this fact. He says that one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Paul quotes from a source of information here, a poet, someone who has written about that particular culture of the Isle of Crete, and the recognition seems to be that lying was just kind of an accepted practice. You would anticipate it from people. At least that was the way the Cretans looked upon it. And I'm not so sure that we don't look upon it in that same way ourselves. I mean, our culture in general. That you would anticipate the fact that you're going to be lied to. People are going to be untruthful with you from time to time. And there are just many other passages I think we could look to that address this situation. Well, I want to talk to you about liars, since they exist. What should we know about them? Well, I want to say to you the first thing we should know about them is we should know about their origin, about why people are liars. And Jesus talks about this in John the 8th chapter in the 44th verse. You'll recall, I suspect, where he makes a statement about Satan there as being the father of all lies. You've heard the story here before, not from me, but of the preacher that was talking to his friend, who was also a preacher. And they were together on a Monday and talking about, well, how did things go yesterday? Or, you know, went well. And but one of them said, well, I had kind of an unusual experience. He says, I was preaching about John chapter 8 and verse 44. He said, you know, where it says that Satan is the father of all liars. And his friend said, yeah, I know where it is. He said, well, I had kind of a slip of a tongue. And I said, he's the father of all lawyers. And his friend says, oh, that's terrible. He says, well, what did you do? He said, well, I started to go back and correct it, but then I decided it's true anyway, so I just left it that way. Well, it is, of course, a declaration about the origin of lies, the origin of lying, the origin of liars that Jesus is speaking of here in John chapter 8. So, the first thing we need to understand about liars is that they are the result of the work of Satan. And if you should tell a lie, you're doing the work of Satan. You're doing the bidding of Satan. But the scriptures go, I think, beyond just identifying the fact that liars exist. And they tell us a little bit more about liars and about lying. In fact, it can be a cowardly act, lying. Now, there are a lot of things that we might attribute to liars and to lying that make us not like them very much. But one thing that we need to understand is people can lie and do lie out of cowardice. I think of the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 20 and verses 2 through 12. And perhaps you'll remember the story there of his traveling with his wife Sarah and she becoming the object of Pharaoh's attention. And Abraham became worried that if they found out that she was his wife, that they would kill him in order to take her. And so what he devised was a lie. The lie being, well, you just say you're my sister. And the Lord ends up warning the king so that he doesn't commit any tragic errors based upon this misinformation. But the point that I think we need to see is that lying can be an act of cowardice on our part. Another example, it seems to me, is that of the Apostle Peter, recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 74, where we find Peter, as the trial of Jesus has begun, and Peter is warming himself by the fire of those who have arrested Jesus and who are in the process of trying him, and he's accused in a sense of being one of the disciples of Jesus, and he says, no, I'm not, and he denies it three times, if you recall the story. Well, it was a lie. And it was a lie told out of cowardice. It was a lie told out of fear. That's what lying will do to us. It will make us cowards. But I'll tell you another thing that lying can do to us. As it is the work product of Satan, it's malicious. It can be malicious. I'm not telling you that every time you tell a lie that you are that you're behaving maliciously. That's not true. What I am saying is that our lies can be motivated by a spirit of hatred for others. Proverbs 26, verses 24 through 25 speaks about this malicious aspect of lying. Let me give you a good example of the maliciousness of that can characterize lying. It comes from the familiar story of Joseph when he was down in Egypt, and how he was the trusted servant, the steward over the whole household of Potiphar. And you remember how Potiphar's wife made advances toward Joseph, which he rejected. And because of her rejection, she told a lie to her husband and said that Joseph had made advances toward her, and that he had tried to accost her. Well, it was all a lie. And it was told with a maliciousness intending to do harm to Joseph, which it did indeed, because Potiphar took him and had him cast into prison, where he spent years unjustly. Turn over, if you would, to that passage in Proverbs, the 26th chapter. Proverbs chapter 26, and we'll look at verses 24 and 25. Verse 24 says, "He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart." The whole point is that he has malicious intent. His intentions are to do us harm. But not only does lying often make us cowards, not only does it make us hateful and malicious, it makes us as well, or at least it can be a means of our materialist aspects of our lives. We can become, you know what a materialist is? He's the fella who's driving his new BMW and pulls it over to park, and he opens the door to get out, and a passing car sideswipes him and rips that door off. And he gets out and he looks at his brand new BMW and he says, "Oh my Beamer, what am I going to do?" And someone walking by looks at him and says, "Forget your car, your left arm was torn off." And he looks down at it and he says, "Oh my Rolex." Well, that's a materialist. That's somebody who's consumed with things, possessed by his possessions, as I know you've heard before. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Because of that desire for material things, we'll lie. We'll use it as a method, as a tool. Let me give you an example for your Bibles, your 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 through 27. Naaman, you'll remember, the captain of the Syrian army, has been cleansed of his leprosy. He's offered great rewards to the prophet who instructed him on how to be cleansed, and the prophet has turned down those great rewards. And so he has gone on his way, Naaman, returning to his home. Gehazi was the servant of the prophet, and after his master now has turned his attention to other things, Gehazi leaves and goes after Naaman in order to tell him that the prophet changed his mind. He will take those gifts now after all. And of course, what Gehazi was doing was he was going there for himself. He was a materialist. But he promoted his own enrichment by means of what? By means of lying. You know, there's just, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Those of you that are involved in business know this perhaps better than the rest, that in order to gain material wealth, some people will do anything. Some people will say anything. What we must be careful about is that we don't become materialist in that way, so devoted to the gaining of things that we will lie. Because when we do that, when we lie in order for business advancements or material possessions, when we lie, what we're doing is the bidding of Satan. Doesn't matter what the justification for it is. I'll tell you another way in which sometimes lying is used to advance causes that are unworthy, and that is by religious liars. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. The picture here is of promoters of religious doctrines who are in their conscience seared to the point of being beyond feeling. Their conscience can't be pricked. It's no longer sensitive. They, without remorse, mislead people and teach people things that are wrong. I want to tell you something about the world out there. There's a lot of lies. There are a lot of untruths, and many of them are religious. And the Bible tells us that we need to be on guard against such things. And so we get this explicit warning that Paul speaks of. People will tell religious lies by claiming, making false claims of authority. Some people will set themselves up as the representative of God, the defender of the faith, the one whom you should listen to. You remember the passages that we began citing in Psalms and in Romans? Let all men be counted as liars. Only God has authority in religion. Only God is the one who ought to be counted upon as reliable for the providing of reliable information. No man, no pope, no potentate, no preacher, not as the source of my information. David Owen isn't worthy of that. Now, I'm not telling you that every time you hear a preacher, you know how you tell. I'll tell this on lawyers again. I'm picking up. You know how you can tell a lawyer is lying, don't you? When his lips are moving, and sometimes that can be true of preachers too. I'm not telling you that every time a preacher moves his mouth that he's lying. What I'm telling you is some preachers are. That's the warning of the Scriptures. When they speak to us about deceit and about lying, some of it is going to come from religious sources. Some of it is going to come from those who profess to know the Lord, but they disobey Him. Look in Titus chapter 1. I'm sorry. In 1 John, we find in where John gives the warnings about those that claim to know the Lord, but who in fact do not. He says that if we say in verse 8 of chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. By the way, when lying goes on, sometimes it's just one person involved. We probably tend to think of, well, there's at least two involved. You know, there's the guy that's telling the lie, and there's the guy that's being, at least one guy that's being lied to. Now, sometimes the guy telling the lie is also the guy that's being lied to. And that's exactly what he speaks of here. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The admonitions that John gives in this chapter, you go back up to verse 6, includes that if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The whole point is that all of this is in the context of religious practices, of religious doctrines being espoused, of claims of a religious nature being made. And what the scriptures are telling us is that sometimes those come as lies rather than statements of truth. Well, that's what lying can do to us. No wonder God looks at it in the way that he speaks of in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 6. And in verse 16. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brethren. No wonder God takes such a dismal view. No wonder his admonition to his people in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 25th verse, is speak truth. Speak truth in love. Are you a speaker of truth? Is that what you're devoted to? To truth? To the speaking of it? To the living of it? Are you currently living the truth as you know it to be revealed in the Scriptures? If you're not a Christian, then you need to begin tonight living truth. And part of that involves giving obedience to the gospel of Jesus, turning away from sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away. You'll begin to live truth then. But part of that living of truth is to be a person who speaks truth and who avoids the errors of lying. We hope and pray that if you're subject to his invitation tonight, you would come to him in obedience while we stand and sing.